Want to do the Pledge of Allegiance? Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay, roll call.
Joanna Selkin is here.
Ken Jones here.
Jeffrey Tsai here. John Cathcart here.
All right, minutes of last week's or last month's meeting, February 28th. I wasn't here, so you guys will have to tell me if everything looks
good. I read the minutes. I think we should accept them as they are.
I agree.
Everybody?
I do too. I agree.
All those in favor? Aye.
Who's second?
He first and then he second. I made a motion. All right. Old business. The Imagine installation manual. Do you want to say anything about that up there?
You know, it's funny. I was watching TV, and they had a show on Amsterdam, and Amsterdam had that same...
Yes, they did.
Oh, you saw that.
Well, I didn't see it on TV, but I do know that it was in Denmark and in Amsterdam.
But it didn't say Imagine. It said Amsterdam.
Oh,
but a letter was missing from it. It didn't say Imagine. It just said Amsterdam.
They must have copied it then.
Yeah. I like that with the I missing.
Yeah.
Everybody puts their own I in there.
Did you want to say anything? Or
were you well, I guess when you were gone, we were kind of, I was kind of going back and forth with Emma Ann, and I had some questions because we had to know for our parks team how it was going to be installed.
Right.
And where it was going to be installed. Where it goes in at the library, we really don't care. That's up to the Friends of the Library where they want to put it. It's on county property.
Yeah.
So I don't know where they're going to put it. Maybe you do.
Yeah, I do.
And, but as far as the city goes, you know, we talked about the Central Park location, and I talked to the parks team and Carol Minnie, who's having Arbor Day in May, which she would have to work around it. But where we thought would be a good spot would be... Here's the Central Avenue, here's the main entrance, and here's the stage. There's a grass strip right in front of there.
Yeah.
Sticking it right in front of there so you see it when you come in there.
Yeah.
And it's far enough back that you could, you know, get a nice photo from here shooting to there. And, you know, if somebody made a comment that if you get it right, you might be able to put the fountain where the eye goes, you know?
Exactly.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that would make a good shot right there.
Sure would.
So that... And I also took it to our building department to make sure they were okay with the structural, and that's why you used Emma Anna to send me the installation manual, which I think I sent to you, and it shows how it's constructed, you know.
Yeah,
right.
And then you know, ballast in here if you need it, but the thing weighs 400 pounds, so it's not going to go anywhere. And there are, I questioned Emma that, you know, is this going to be open like this? Because I didn't see anything, but she says, oh no, it'll have. Plywood over the top, you know, to seal it up so kids can't get in there or do anything. And it'll look good from the back as well as the front, because that was my main concern. If I have to look at this.
Yeah, especially if you're talking about right here,
right,
because people will be able to walk around it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Not only would it be dangerous.
Yeah, you're right. Children get in there.
Yeah, it would be a really...
falls.
It would be like a city liability.
And the letters are all attached. They're not going to fall off like they do on your Scrabble board sometimes.
Right.
So they approved it. We don't need a permit or anything. It's just a temporary thing. So
is it going to go to the library too, Bill, or is it just going to stay here?
No, it's going to the library first.
Okay.
And what will happen is it's being installed at the library on Tuesday.
On Tuesday?
On Tuesday.
Wow.
And Emma is going to be here for it.
Great.
What I was wondering is if, you know, the Palm Coast TV network or something like that could be there to... You know, maybe film it, installation.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And talk to her. You could interview her if they wanted. The only thing I don't know at this point, she's going to get back to me, is the exact time that you'll be here with the truck to start the installation. But it is set for Tuesday next week. That way it's installed prior to April 1st.
So it's just everything's done. The one is already built and done.
Yes.
Just needs to be come in and brought in. And
right. The only issue that she has at all that I wasn't able to help her with, because the people I knew were all tied up. She was looking for two local handyman type people that could help with the installation. Mm-hmm. But the guys that like had worked on my house or whatever, I talked to them, and they're all busy with projects right now. The economy is doing better, and a lot of people are back to work. She was going to try to find somebody. That's the only kind of missing link in it. Mm-hmm. She didn't feel like it was going to be a problem.
So she uses kind of local people.
Yeah, she uses. Yeah, she has the delivery guy who's been doing it, and in this case, she's actually coming out. Sometimes she uses a guy down in Miami who comes out for these type of things. But she's coming out herself to supervise the thing, just to make sure it gets done right, and be able to talk to any media people, because I'm going to be notifying the papers and that kind of stuff to see if we can get some people out there.
Who's going to contact the media people?
I was going to.
You would? Okay.
Yeah.
And I'll tell Cindy Lane, too, our public relations person.
Okay.
Maybe she can help get the word out, too.
Yeah.
And then, you think this will take a day or more than a day?
Less than a day. She says it'll take probably about 2 to 3 hours.
Oh, okay.
Once the delivery
is done. So by Wednesday,
it's really be done. Yeah. By Wednesday, it'll be done. She said by Tuesday, 4 or 5 o'clock probably will be done.
Where on the property are they going
to
put it?
Well, I have my camera with me. I'd have to get it. But basically, as you face the library, you're in the parking lot of the library.
Mm-hmm.
You got the door on the right. There's the flagpole, the grass area there. There's an area right to the left of the grass pole.
Which way are we looking? North?
You're looking right at the library. You're standing in the parking lot looking at the library.
Yeah,
so
the
it goes.
Door.
So you're talking east-west.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got the.
It's east west.
Yeah, east west, and then you're looking north.
Library is north.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're looking dead at the library. But if you just kind of. If you're standing at the front door in the parking lot looking dead at the library, turn left. There's a flagpole there where the flag is.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a section on the grass that we're going to angle it right across there.
Okay.
So that. And the reason why.
Isn't there some art there already?
The art is all the way off to the right, which is Gargiulio's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thing, and that's off to the far
right. Okay.
This is going to be to the left of the door, so that out in the grass area, and basically it's going to be angled kind of at the parking lot, you might say, so you can see it. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why we selected that spot is we were going to try to go more in the front, but then if people want to take pictures, you have to stand in the parking lot to take them.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't want to do that, so we angled it over where, it's not behind the flagpole, it's like between the flagpole and a tree that's there. We measured it out and it fits right in, so that people can actually stand on the sidewalk and take their pictures right there.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's tough to see that from the street, though. No one.
Oh, you're not going to see it from the street.
You won't be able to see it.
There's no place
street.
In the library that you're going to see it unless you put it out at
the far end of the parking lot that goes out to Belterre.
Yeah,
but that's. Yeah, that's way over.
No, you're not. This is not going to be one of those things. You're just going to see.
Now,
screen.
How long is it going to be at the library before it gets moved over to the town
month
center?
Month of April.
Okay.
And then they will be moving it. I forget the exact date, but it's around April 29th. April. There was some issue there with a holiday or something. I forget. It'll be up for the month of May.
Yeah, May 3rd or 2nd,
I think it was
Arbor Day on Saturday.
Arbor Day, yeah.
So it'll be up before
it
that.
Be
I think
that.
We talked
yeah.
about
right.
that it would be up before
it'll
that.
It'll be up before that.
So. And how long is it going to stay there?
For the month of May.
Oh, for the month of May.
So we're only going to have it for 2 months.
That's correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds
good. They got the grant from the city, I guess. The city council has to put the final blessing on it next week, I think, at their meeting.
Yeah. We haven't actually got the grant, but have obviously we've
just seen it. You may want to open the door for him.
It's Glenn.
That's Glenn, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's trying to get in the other door.
Oh.
That's password. Forgetfulness.
Hi, Glenn.
Let the record show that Glenn Pardolo has arrived.
A miracle, huh? Stay right there.
So I think it sounds like it's all in place, because you're all set on the city side, and we're all set on the library side. So I think it's all a go at this point.
Yeah.
So it's just a matter of trying to get some publicity out there.
Yeah, now we need to really do it.
I set aside some $350 for advertising, so I'm trying to go through. I talked to Emma. She doesn't really have a publicity or media kit, but I'm going through that stuff that she gave us when she made the initial proposal, and going to try to turn that into an advertisement that we can produce. She also sent me a much better picture, much larger picture of the Imagine that I could use, kind of like the one in the center up at the top. But I could use that for a picture in an ad or for publicity with the newspapers or whatever. So
I talked to Carol Minnie, you know, about the Arbor Day thing, and you know, this would be a great opportunity for the Friends of the Library maybe to set up a little table or booth there to kind of explain to all the people what it is, you know. If they want to have a table booth, have them get a hold of her as soon as possible.
Okay.
And she can give you information on that. But that would be really, really good, because you're going to get a lot of exposure to this. It's one thing to have it just sitting apart, but to have an event there that draws that many people, it's going to be really perfect timing.
And it would be a good idea to have the library folks there, you know, because there, like you said, there's going to be a lot of folks, and it's attractive. It's interesting. People will be looking at it. See a booth, the library.
I was wondering during the month of May if the schools, like the local elementary schools, could take some of the children over there to see this.
Well, the busing is very expensive. It's tough to get them.
Or maybe you could just, you know, get flyers out to the schools to have the parents bring them over there. You know, so the kids will get involved with us.
One of the things that April...
Put a beautification application out there.
The what?
The beautification application, award application is out there.
Uh-huh.
You know, to let people know.
We'll have a table for the green team of the city, so yeah, we can put some applications out there, because we haven't had a submittal in, gosh, probably 8 months. You know, it's getting close to a year before we had one, so we need to get some more submittals on that. The church that was redone on the Shepherd, the one on Palm Crest Parkway, I can't think of it now. But they keep saying they're going to turn in an application. They were kind of waiting for spring to come so that things could leaf out and flower and look better, so to get some really nice after pictures. So I think that's what they're waiting on.
I guess
that's it.
I think that's it.
Okay. Well, good job, Ken. I appreciate you and your wife's efforts on that.
No problem.
Put a lot of work in.
So now... The official chairman can start.
Oh, yeah, the BEAC duties and responsibilities concerning city project reviews.
I talked to Ray Tyner, my boss, on that, and, you know, we looked at the charter where the BEAC was created, and their duties are to basically review environmental issues with the city, make suggestions if they want. Just kind of generalizing any ideas they may have for the environment or things like that. As far as the review of the plans and regular commercial projects that are going on, like the City Walk or some of the other commercial buildings. The review of that is the purview of the Planning and Land Development Regulation Board, the PLDRB. They are tasked for doing that, and they don't want another, you know, bureaucratic process into it. So that is their task, to review those things. What the focus of this committee is supposed to be is to review capital projects, things like I've been bringing to you normally, you know, our parkway beautification, the Holland Park, the six laning, you know, which you've been seeing those things because those don't usually go to the PLDRB. So it's something that you know, we're kind of doing in-house and we have more control over. So that is really, if you, any of you want to be more involved with those other kind of projects, like I mentioned, there are vacancies on the PLDRB that open up from time to time, and All you have to do is, you know, tell someone or tell me you're interested, and, you know, maybe you could move into that. If you would like to do that more so than this. This is more of a general thing. The comments are not anything that has to be addressed at a public meeting, but they do get it. Like I said, if you want to write a letter to the planning board or to the city council, there's nothing that says you can't do that, you know, this to let them know, but they will not be voting on it. They will not bring it up at a meeting and say, okay, we got this letter from so-and-so. It'll go to all the members, and then they can do with what they want. They might, you know, they might say, hey, we got a letter from them. We need to be looking more at this, or, you know, that kind of thing. So you can make suggestions, but as far as reviewing actual projects, that's their purview. So,
Bill, if this committee makes a suggestion, like Jeff sometimes makes things that makes a lot of sense environmentally, does the city take that into consideration? In other words, if we have some sort of an impact on what the city will do in the future or anything?
Well, that's where you could be affected. I mean, a lot of stuff that you mentioned, you know, I take to heart. It's stuff I work on, and
right.
I've tried to change what I do or add and modify things like that. I remember when we were doing some of the Belterre landscaping, Jane was on the committee at the time, and she says, you know, why are we using all these lavender crepe myrtles, you know? I mean, use some other colors, you know? And I explained why we were using, because they bloom longer, but I said, okay, I see the point. So we put some whites, we put some pinks.
Okay.
So as you go to the south, you'll see a little more variety, that kind of thing. And then Jeffrey made some comment about the literal zone plantings around the ponds. And,
yeah, he did.
And we kind of investigated the cost on what it would cost to do it versus the cost, which is no cost, to kind of let them regenerate. And we did that. Jane also made a comment about some of the literal plants that were on Palm Coast Parkway that were being mowed. So with the six-laning project, we've got that same area. The area we're talking about is on the south side of Palm Coast Parkway. If you're coming down Boulder Rock heading north and you turn right on Palm Coast Parkway to go to the interchange, on the right, you'll see a ditch in there, and it's all just mud right now. You know, the sod goes down to a certain point and stops. So what I've got the contractor doing, the plans call for sod, but I am going to have him use that money they would have spent for sod to buy some literal zone plants to plant in there, because it's always going to stay pretty wet, and that'll look nice, and it'll restore. And then we'll train our personnel that, hey, you don't mow this. This stay out of here, and this will look good. So those are just a couple of things. But anything you want to comment on, you can. You know, if you want to make a suggestion, and I will carry that suggestion, or like say you could put it on paper and send it to somebody. But that's kind of what I was told that your purview is over.
I certainly wouldn't want to think that we would want to add another layer of approval process or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it does seem like the planning board could utilize this board or this committee to at least get input, much the same way as you're getting input for your projects and stuff. Whether or not they want to accept it, that's their business,
mm-hmm.
whatever. But it just seems like, you know, they could make better use of getting greater input by also showing it to us.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you see some things that are happening with the development, you know, a letter saying, you know, hey, we're the BAC, and these are some of the things that we're seeing that maybe need to have a closer look taken at, or considerations for. What are they doing for... water conservation, solar, low impact development. How important is that in your review? You know, people look at those things, and not that you may get or may not get a reply, but at least it puts a bug in the rear.
Right. And I guess there's a couple ways. There's an individual. You can see something obviously and send anything out to anyone. Okay. The other,
but under your own name, if you
that's just that as an individual.
Yeah.
You can't do it on
the
board.
But you can bring it to
the chairman
part two and bring it to this board, and we can just look at it and say, yes, as a board, we want to send a letter saying it too. So there's a couple of different ways you can do it there. So.
Yeah. Well, that would be my sentiments exactly too, is that you look around a lot, and to me, I think that the more eyes you have and the more discussion you have on projects on anything. The more overlap you would have, it would not be a detriment. As far as you're talking about the delineation of responsibility as to who has the ultimate say, well, it's the city council has the ultimate say. So I would think our committee, I mean, this is, we're environmentals in our name. We really should be looking at some of the projects and what is going on to perhaps make suggestions as to ways that we would think it might be better done, or that we're in full agreement with the way that it's going forward.
Now, what's important is like our land development code and any changes to the comprehensive plan. Those we want you involved in. And when we changed our land development code, we ran this through the committee, and they reviewed everything. So everything was brought to them. Now, once that code's adopted and accepted, then that really is what is the guiding factor for all these development projects. They're just meeting the land development code. If they haven't met the land development code, they're not going to get passed by the planning council, or it won't get approval from our city. So So I think that's where Ray is kind of coming from, my boss, is that, you know, you guys have approved the changes to the land development code, and they're just complying with it. You know, we can't make them comply more. I mean, say, yeah, it would be nice to have solar power, or it would be nice to have this or that. To make that a suggestion, it doesn't work in those planning board meetings, because the people are going to say, hey, that costs us money. We're meeting the code. You know, we're doing this. Now, sometimes we'll get into a planned urban development, a PUD, where there's some negotiation where, we're not going to meet the code here, but instead we're going to do this that's over and above the code. So, you know, some suggestions on things that they could do to go over and above the code.
Well, let me ask you sort of that. That's an overall. I have a thought of the specific instance that the woman that was here, Miss Lockhart, I believe was her name, last time brought up about the roadway, the extension of Palm Harbor. Mm-hmm. Now, and the retention pond, construction, and now who's... And the fact that that's cutting through all that, as she called it, the upland vegetation that is really disappearing at a rapid rate, and maybe will be. But where does our responsibility fall, like, in looking at something like that and perhaps making... That's the city that's building that road.
See, that's a capital project. So,
okay.
So that's fine. And what I explained last time was that Denise Bevan and I both looked at that, and we both encouraged them to try to save some of that vegetation there. But the problem was is that the roadway expansion required... I don't mean to ignore
you. That's fine.
I'm facing them mostly. That it required so much volume that they needed all that area for the volume. And in order to save it, they would have had to acquire more property to put it onto, and there wasn't the money in the budget for it. They would have to... acquire houses or land. Maybe there's land they couldn't acquire, but there was reasons why they couldn't expand it any further. So that kind of killed that idea. But that was one of my comments in my initial review of it. That we've got some trees in here. It'd be nice to save. I mean, we are mitigating for them. We're planting more trees than we're taking out, and it's going to be a beautiful thing when we're all done. But
see, that's what I was wondering. As you at the end of the meeting, you showed the Google map of the actual area itself, and I got the idea of where Forest Grove and Palm Harbor intersect, and the triangulation of that roadway cutting across, and that's where. And then my thought was, what's all this other property? Who owns that, and what is it? What is it going to do once the roadway gets in there? That's what I was thinking of. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing. But the other thing that I'm thinking about, too, is in addition with the planning and land development review, or sometimes when projects come in and folks come in and they're speaking before the council and they want a project approved, if there's a little attaboy type of thing, like they're going to do a little more for the environment than they have to, They're meeting the code and they're taking a step up. Mm-hmm. So, approve the project. they might do that. And maybe if that idea is planted in their head a little bit, that, hey, do take a little extra step, work it a little bit different, so that a larger area or a pond and an upland habitat or a marsh, a wetland, and more of it is preserved. I would think that that's something that we would all be interested in doing right down from the top top down.
Yeah, and those are the kind of suggestions the planning board looks at, you know, that when they review those, is that, what are you giving us, you know?
Yeah.
We're giving this, what are you giving us? And that's what they ask. Now, the planning department puts together a staff report, and they either recommend denial or approval, and they have to meet certain criteria to get any kind of a variance or a change or something like that, or the PUD, which, like I said, is a kind of a negotiated agreement. Or a master plan development, I guess you could call them too. But again, that's their job to look at those things. Now, I don't know how this committee could mesh with that without getting into what, you know, Ray says that you're not involved with. But you could send suggestions, letters to them. I don't know how else to.
But the thought, though, is how do we know what to recommend or what to look at if we don't actually know what they're going
to
do?
Yeah, and so yeah, that goes back to me having to bring those projects to you for review, and that's not my job. It's not the job of this committee to review each project that way.
Chick-fil-A is not going to send us anything.
No free Chick-fil-A.
They're not going to send us there.
If the Army Corps of Engineers proposes something, who oversees what they propose that we really want to do this?
The Army Corps? They're their own boss. We have no control over what they do. They can do whatever they want.
Yeah, that's the trouble we had up in North. And all they did was do things so they had funds. Because if they don't have a project, whether you need it or not, they don't get paid. Mm-hmm. So, well, we were really cautious about some of the things that they propose, especially dredging and stuff like that. I mean, they didn't care about the environment. Mm-hmm. They just wanted those dollars coming from Washington, mm-hmm. you know. So I don't know how, see, back there, the organization I ran, we could challenge them. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they weren't allowed to do what they did, but you know, you're right, they're their own bosses, but somebody has to overlook at what they do, because they are not too friendly to the environment. They may make you think they are, mm-hmm. but all they care about is the bucks coming from Washington.
Yeah. The other thing we don't review is any of the school projects, anything on school property. They're their own entity as well. So in the past, they really haven't even tried to, you know, work with our codes and to make it look like it blends, but that's changed substantially in the last 5 or 10 years. They're starting to work with us. We're working with them. As you know, we're, you know, using the joint use of the ball fields, and we help them out with doing a little landscaping, like I'm going to show you a little earlier, with the schools, and kind of make them look better, and they like that. And you know, they pay for materials, we do labor, and so it's really a good relationship we got with them. So even though we don't review their plans, and they can really do what they want, they're trying. They're trying to be a good community neighbor to us, and blend with the rest of the community and not stick out like that. Sort
that's
of
a good
like
thing.
Doing
they have
it because I don't have to, I'm not going to do it.
They have that sign up now on the Flagler Auditorium where it shows events, not necessarily in the auditorium, but different things going on in Palm Coast. That's a good idea.
Now, see, that's an example, though, because under our city sign ordinance, that wouldn't be allowed. We don't allow rotating, flickering signs and things like that, but you know, they can do it if they want to. So,
Bill, the last meeting we had, Jane brought up the one about the trees on the median, Old Kings Road.
Yes.
And you were telling us about that, why the trees had to come down, because the water runs underneath the trees.
And there's no right-of-way on the sides, yeah. I mean, it's something like that. If you all feel strongly about it, you could write a letter about that. But you know, from what my efforts were, I'm telling you that they're going to tell you this committee the same thing is that unless they can get from Wendy's or from someplace else, it's you know, it's not going to work because they have to have so many turn lanes. Right now, if you're going south on Old Kings Road to Poncos Parkway, right. There's one lane going straight. That's the only lane going straight. So, and I think that's the same lane that turns left. So you can see how things get kind of jumbled up if the guy wants to turn left and he wants to go, he's backed up behind him. So we definitely need more turn lanes there. But where do you put them? You know, it's got to go to the middle because it can't go to the outside. Now, on Palm Coast Parkway, we had the room to put turn lanes on the outside. Now, however, some of the turn lanes on the inside are having to be put in, which is going to shorten our medians on both ends. We're going to lose a couple hundred feet on either end because the turn lanes have to get longer. So they've kind of waited to the end. If you go out there, you'll see some sable palms with survey ribbon around them, the blue and the white striped survey tape. Those are the trees that are going to have to come out for the turn lanes. So you can kind of envision everything from that last tape palm there is going to be concrete, which is unfortunate, but it's all.
Like when we propose something, does the Environmental Protection Agency look at it to see if it meets the environment?
The EPA doesn't get involved.
No. Yeah. Those regulations are already in place with the city and the county and everything already. There's nothing that has to be done.
And the Water Management District, we have to abide by them. That's the biggest thing, is that, you know, for our retention, our stormwater, you know, we have to get a permit just like everybody else does from them.
Yeah. So to just kind of sum this up or make it clear in my mind, you're saying that big projects like DRIs, that type of thing, that's the area for the Planning and Land Development Board in our city.
That and the commercial development, you know.
And any commercial development.
Yeah.
Now, so if you wanted to find out, you would go to those meetings. Is there a way prior to going to the meeting that you can find out what's going to be discussed at that meeting? Yeah. You know, meaning if they're bringing up a project that's got a lot of like that, the project on the other side of US-1, there's a lot of open land up there.
Yeah.
When that's coming up, or when something similar to that is going to be discussed, how would we say, just as me, citizen of Palm Coast, get a hold of that information so I could walk in there without looking and going, oh, wow, I don't like this. It's approved.
All available on our website. They have the agenda, they have backup, they have the plan.
The agenda.
Yeah, okay. You can do that. Okay, and I think in the past the DAC did go to a city council meeting and the chairman came up and addressed and said something about it, you know. So, you know, that's you know, if you all want to do that, you can. Mm-hmm. But you have to, you know, discuss it at the meeting and bring it up and talk about it. But it's.
So any city property, any city projects, that's something though that we can look at.
Yeah, and I'll bring those to you every time, so you'll know what's going on.
Sounds fair to me, right? Is everybody else?
You got a better education.
Okay. Thank you for that, Don.
I guess we're up to landscape buffer plan, right?
I emailed the plans to you. I don't know how well you could read them on your little computer screen, but I brought them.
Well, I printed it out because it came in pieces here, so.
Yeah.
Instead of 18 pages, I decided not to print.
Now, is this proposed, Bill, or has this been done?
No, this is proposed.
Okay.
I'm going to pull that to you again.
This is one long line there. Oh, my gosh. All right. I'm going to get up here.
Given this to the school, and they've looked at it, and
they
approve it. Of course, it's pretty much like the concept plan that you've seen before.
Okay.
Starting here at Bulldog Drive.
Yeah.
All the way down to the administrative building, down there, the administration building.
Yeah.
There's a chain link fence there now. Putting a hedge along that fence to help screen the parking, and then where trees are and signs. We've kind of...
Wait a second, Bill. There's a chain link fence before the high school parking lot?
It comes along Bulldog here, and then it turns a 90-degree angle and runs all the way down to... You get to where that curb went, and it stops there, and you can see where it returns back.
Okay.
After that, there's no fence, so I put a viburnum hedge in there to kind of...
Now, who installed the fence?
That school. That was part of the school.
Kids put cups in there to make designs for advertising. Yes.
Well, they have a bulldog sign, which is right... where is it at? Right here. It says FBC Bulldogs or something, where they put it in... It's not cups. It's actually plastic things that you buy, and they click into the fence thing. It's kind of neat, and it has the picture of the bulldog, but it's right here. So I put some low juniper here and a couple of podocarpus to frame it, so it'll look kind of nice when it's done. And then I've got a couple of hollies. These are Eagleston hollies on either side of the group here. The smaller circles are Eagleston hollies. These larger ones are crepe myrtles, and then these are live oaks.
Oh, wow.
And those three are bald cypress.
Oh.
So the rest are
these three are bald cypress.
Uh-huh.
Hey, nice.
And how big are the
bald cypress?
It's wetter.
It stays really wet there.
Yeah.
We're having to do some grading to kind of get it areas dry enough you can get a mower in there. Because right now the way is to go in and mow it and you get stuck. So then I'll be putting a wetland type plant, the spartina grass, in here and over there.
12 to 14 feet.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
Yeah, that's our standard 3.5-inch caliper size we use for all our commercial jobs.
That's the live oak. 12 to 14 feet also. And it's nice.
And then the undersort trees are the 30-gallon, the smaller. Yeah. Which would be the Eagleston hollies and the crepe myrtles.
Yeah, that's nice.
Now, Bill, what's this? It looks like a little... I know it's not a sidewalk. Right here, with the little dotted lines, going out to the main road.
These dotted lines go away. That's the old alignment. That's the old Bulldog Drive.
Okay, and this one here, white. Too?
Yeah, this all... You just ignore that.
Okay.
This is the new alignment. And on the corner here... this is the Blue Star Memorial sign that was, it's been kind of moving around, but we relocated initially, it was over here, we put it over here, and I'm going to put some dune sunflower around it, and then also some dune sunflower around these other signs. There's a directional sign at the football stadium, and also another little sign directing some other computer technology thing or something. But Town Center has some concern with that sign. They think this sign might be blocking the view to this. So they said, let's wait till we get the Town Center sign up, which it should be done, I think, by the end of this week. But it might be done now. But I think by this Friday, they were supposed to have the sign up.
The pedestal.
The columns are already done. But they haven't put the wrought iron and the actual Town Center logo or the name. So we're going to go out and look at it and see. But that may not be the final location of that. But to me, it doesn't block it. It's a directional sign that people... It'll be helpful for people to know if they're coming to a lacrosse or a football game where to turn.
And they won't have a sign on the
side
either? Yeah,
this is our property here. We don't know what's happening with this right now.
Okay.
We left some of the existing buffer here, and we're planting some more podocarpus in this next space here. We'll finish the planting around both signs.
Okay.
That's where the auto place used to be, right?
Yeah.
The
right.
Old car sales.
Yeah.
Used car.
Up in the airport, it looked terrible.
Yeah. But it will be developed.
I'm sorry, but it did.
It looks kind of bad now.
That's an honest
view. Nice guys, though, I'll tell you.
Are they trying to get here?
They were nice guys. They just went to order for the car here.
No.
Okay, and this is a little island coming. So there's this is a one-way in here.
This is the parking lot to the school, and over here is the auditorium somewhere. Is that the way this goes?
Yeah.
Is that where we're at now? So this goes in the main school is right in front here.
What a terrible way of going.
The old entrance used to be right here.
What, going in here?
From here and going all the way around.
Oh, you have to go all
around. Yeah, it's a mess now. We went there the other night, and it's difficult.
I see some people, they go out, they come back, and they go back out again, and they come back. And they can't get, and they come over here, and they get stuck. And they say, where do we go now? And they have to go back out around.
This is the sidewalk that will be...
Yeah. It's already in.
Yeah, that's in.
And we're going to be rehabbing the medians, too, because they tore them up when they did all the turn lanes and stuff, and they cut our irrigation lines, so we're trying to figure out how we can get irrigation restored. We got a main line that goes from here to here that's got a break underneath the turn lane down here where Ken's...
Yeah,
so we may have to do a... a directional board and reestablish it from here to that little tip. But we're trying to work that out.
So this is 100, so they're going to have a one-way, this is going to be one-way here.
It's already there.
It's already there.
And this is one-way coming in over here. Right. Which would make it easier for the people trying to get them.
What a plan. What a landscaping
nice
package.
Yeah. Well, we figured this is one of our main corridors of the city, and it benefits the city to have us looking good, too, and to blend and try to get them to look more like our standard landscaping.
Well, it's also going to be the main corridor getting to the...
City Hall,
and the town center. I mean,
yeah,
so you really need to get this dressed up. Uh-huh. I agree.
Even the airport director had talked to me. He says, you know, when that's done, talk to me. You know, maybe you can help me with my side, too. You know, so I said, well, let's wait and see what ours look like, and then we'll talk. So,
is there public, is there city land on that side, too?
No. It's
all owned by the
airport. Going down Bulldog, it looks really nice now. Uh-huh. It really looks wonderful.
I only saw the old Bulldog. My car place was down there. He was the fellow that was in... in opposition to the city, Gus.
As Andrew and
Gus Auto Sales, GEA. He was there.
He used to be a body shop down there too. He did some body work for one of my cars and did a good job.
Well, this is a huge listing of vegetation.
Yeah, this is a huge thing here.
So it was from. Is this all city funding through the?
This is our parkway beautification. We've got about $75,000 earmarked for this, and hopefully we'll be able to bring it in under that. We'll have some resodding to do, too, once the grading is done and everything.
And these plants aren't cheap, these large...
So it's all going to be installed and all done when?
City crews are going to do it. We hope to get started in April, so late April, get going on it.
That's a good time.
I'm going to get the purchase orders ready. The irrigation plan is almost done. I'm just putting the final touches on that right now. Yeah. And it connects up to the, we have a reuse line stubbed out to here from the reuse we did here, the meters down the road. But we'll just connect to that and run a main line down to here, and there's four new zones that'll operate.
Where does the city get all their plantings from?
From what?
Where do they get all their plantings from, in their trees?
The different places.
Okay.
You have different suppliers that you go put out bids for
this?
Yeah,
some nurseries just grow trees, some just grow shrubs, and so we just look at, I look at the plant finder and see who has the material I'm looking for at the right size and price, and then I send votes out to, you know, at least three for each plant I'm buying, and then I'll get quotes back from them, and I pick a little bit.
Low bid. Who owns the airport land? That's private?
County.
County?
I think it's county.
They've talked about expanding runways and putting new runways in because they want... That's the busiest, one of the busiest corporate airports in the whole United States. Mm-hmm. So they want bigger airplanes to come in. Now, do they sit down and talk with the city about how far they can go out, you know, extending these runways and stuff? They just
really,
they don't have to, you know.
Where they're extending is county land. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even though it may impact the homes that are right near where those runways are coming in?
I don't think that's always an issue whenever you do it.
Sure it is.
Those are also next to an airport.
Yeah, but what happened, Jeff, was the homes down there on that section there, when Landmark was here, they were building homes here specifically being close to that airport so people can have their like small little planes like they do down in New York with hangers.
Like a fly-through or something?
Hangers attached to their house so they could have their own little private airplanes going into their own little hangers.
Here in Palm Coast?
They were talking about that. Oh. And then it kind of went... So that's what happened with that. Yeah.
And your irrigation plan... how do you, I mean, what kind of, are you using sprayers or what?
I'm just using rotors on this. It's basically a two rows of them, one along the sidewalk here and one along the fence, you know, spraying against each other. Since we're not using St. Augustine grass or zoysia, there's no requirement to separate the turf from the shrubs. Right. And all this stuff is pretty xeric stuff, so once it gets established, we probably won't be running
it
very much.
It doesn't need much.
That's the idea.
But I would imagine that they would have to follow FAA directives of how close you can put a runway to a house.
Oh, yeah.
Although if you ever landed in San Diego Airport, they have, you could wave to the people at the hotel on this wooden runway.
Yeah, there's probably stuff out there.
But I mean, I imagine they would have to do that before they could start expanding these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would think, but then again, you've heard that about, like, for example, noise. A lot of the folks that, when they do make expansions and allow larger planes to land, sometimes the noise is a little prohibitive, but I guess that's all, that must be the FAA, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, they have.
The noise right now sometimes going into my house in the small planes is bad. And it's just a small plane.
Don't you?
Yeah.
Is that on the runway?
It's in a flight pattern. They go right over my house, Jeff.
Huh.
And sometimes they come down so low, I could almost wave to them and say hello.
Waving. Uh-oh. You have a big jet coming over.
Now, some of those plants, Ken, you're looking at are for the median, like the mule grass.
Okay.
We're kind of filling in the gaps where the muley had died and adding some more juniper beds in here. And then this is the flax lily going here and some doing sunflower there.
Okay.
So if you look on here, you're like, well, where's the muley grass up here? It's not up here. It's, that's where that is.
Okay.
That's basically the three kind of plants I've used in that area.
Okay. Have you had any problem with the rust of junipers? Or?
We had a little bit of rust
yeah.
on junipers, not much, and also on the flax lily, too.
Yeah.
It's just... It just seems like with, I think it all started, I talked to the county extension agent there, and she said that with all the rain, it's been rainier last season
mm-hmm.
than most, and it's gotten these more funguses
yeah,
going out,
funguses,
and,
yeah.
and it's like the India hawthorn.
Yeah.
I can't use it anymore.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It was one of the best plants you
yep.
could ever use because it was drought tolerant, it flowered,
yeah.
it was salt tolerant,
mm-hmm.
and now it is just... It looks nice now because the new leaves have come out and it's got flowers, but
right.
they're just going to start getting fungus again and they're starting to die. So we're actually pulling them out in our medias and things. If you see some open spots,
yeah, yeah.
and I'm looking at different kinds of plants I can substitute for. You know,
mm-hmm.
In some areas I'm thinking the loropetalum has seemed to do well with the kind of purplish leaves and
yep.
the pink flowers. I don't know if you all have any suggestions,
yeah.
but... You know, there are different varieties of loropetalum,
yeah.
you know. Some get bigger, some are smaller, but they all seem to like to be pruned so that they stay bushy and put out a lot
yeah.
of new
That's
red.
That's the only thing, you know, is it put extra pressure on our landscaping people to get out there, though, and prune them.
That yeah,
yeah
that's
so,
the yeah, that's
yeah.
the only thing is.
Otherwise, they get
maintenance out of
lightly.
I'm still using the Parsons juniper because that's such a good plant, you know,
yeah.
but... It's tough. What we and the other thing is the fire power nandina. You know those
the nandina,
are
yeah.
getting hit really bad.
Yeah.
And so if you all have any suggestions on what we might do, but again, they've got to be something that really doesn't get fungus as bad.
Yeah.
You know, when you go up 95, Bill, and you go into South Carolina and North Carolina, Georgia doesn't do it, and parts of Virginia. They have a lot of these wildflowers along the highways.
Mm-hmm.
And they look absolutely gorgeous. I don't know how long they last or anything or
mm-hmm.
what kind of maintenance they are, but they do look nice.
Yeah, but in an urban environment like this,
won't
it would
work.
Never fly.
Okay.
Because people expect it to look good all the
all
time.
All the time.
And
yeah.
if it looks, you know, weedy, seedy,
yeah.
it's not going to work. We've tried it before a long time ago when I was with ITT in it. It looked gorgeous when it was flowering. You know, we had black-eyed Susans on this hill and this and
yeah.
that. And then it kind of went to seed. They're like, oh, what are you doing
now?
And then they go out and mow it at the wrong time, and then you don't have anything but weeds.
Right.
Okay. That's good.
So, you
know, it's a lot of work.
Nice plan.
Very nice plan. It's a lot of work.
So you go for it. Can I get a vote of approval?
Yes.
yes.
Did you design this yourself, Bill?
Yeah.
It was a wonderful job of designing it.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. And I
make a motion that the BEAC approves the plan.
I second the motion.
The landscape buffer plan for the high school.
Right.
Flagler Palm Coast High School, that is.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Right.
And we have a second.
Seconded.
All in flavor?
Aye.
Aye. Do second.
I second.
Okay.
Jeff seconded.
Approved.
Thank you very much.
No, it was a huge effort. I remember the days you have to draw those by hand.
And I did draw it by hand. I labeled it on the computer, but I drew the drawings by hand.
Remember those stick-on letters?
Yeah.
Pulled them a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And rapidograph pens that
tend to spread out.
You're
taking me way back now.
Don't say that. I remember doing that as my classwork. My God.
Was that the last thing I
wanted to do, Mr.
Chairman?
Well, it was public.
Public participation. We got a second page.
Yep.
Glenn?
Public discussion.
Yeah, I saw that.
Would you like to add anything?
There's nothing there.
No.
I think in the future, if we have public people, we should just, like we have in the past, just jump to people that are here rather than having sit through this.
Right.
Well, here again, it goes back to the new format of the meetings. And I agree with you 100%. And it's like, the other thing that gets me is that in city council meetings is that they have a consent agenda, which means if no one pulls it out, they don't discuss it, they just approve them all.
Yep.
Well, in Ormond Beach, they put that first so that the people that are there for those can just go home. They don't have to sit. But now here, you have to sit through this whole meeting. And then, you know, I have to go as a staff thing, and I'll sit there for 2 hours, and then it doesn't get pulled, and I've sat there for nothing, really. But there's two rules of thought, and I'm thinking this is what it is that, you know, you go through the whole meeting, and then it gets late, and people don't want to pull it off because they're tired of meeting. So I don't know. I shouldn't say that, but it's just, I don't know why.
Sounds logical.
I don't know why.
Make an honest approach.
We can subvert the process.
Right. And as chairman, you can move up and move agenda items.
I just have a question.
You know, I can always get fired, and that's fine.
I have a question for Bill.
Can I say something one more?
Sure,
go ahead, please. Just on the same thing, where you go to something if you look at your agenda, you know, it goes under old business.
Right.
And it says Imagine Installation Manual, and then below that, it has the DEAC duties and responsibilities.
Yeah.
I question, because that doesn't look like it's a separate item to me. It looks like it's
part
of the first one.
Yeah.
You know, you're
right.
Numbered or something or bulleted.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought, too.
And I made that comment. They're looking into it. But the reason why it has never popped up before is because for the Planning Board and City Council, each item always has attachments. There's always attachments to those things. And if it doesn't have an attachment, then it doesn't get, you know, a 15-106 or a 15-105. Those had attachments. So Irene was trying to fake it out to put a fake attachment to see it went to it. But they're trying to work on that. So I don't know if you noticed that as well, but it kind of bothered me.
I couldn't figure out.
Because you just glance right over it. It's like,
yes.
No.
Until you brought it up, I thought it was something to do with the manual.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you brought it up, I realized it was a separate entity.
Yeah. So we're trying to work on that, see, because that's something unique to this committee that the other boards don't run into.
Anybody else have problems printing this?
I had a problem printing this.
No, it's probably
with the back end of it because it chopped itself up.
I had Irene copy the agenda below an email.
I knew it was going to do that.
The only way I could get it to work, I have a Mac. And the only way I could get it to do work, I had it on my iPad. I had a print screen on the iPad, which sent it as a photo, and then I printed the photo. But for some reason, when she sent me this, my iPad did not have a print function for that particular thing. And that happens now and then. I can send it as a mail. I can send it to Twitter, whatever that might be. But I can't. It doesn't send it to my printer.
So did any of you have trouble opening it up? Or
no, I didn't. I printed the whole thing. Okay.
Been in trouble with the regular PC. Macs are always a little different.
Well, if it happens again, that's one of the things.
Irene took care of it.
She probably
she
knows
that.
Okay.
The only problem I have is it required two pieces of paper, whereas the old method just had
one
single agenda on one
piece.
Yep.
Well, if you all have one of these, then you wouldn't have to print out it all. You just bring it to the meeting.
That's true.
Read it off. That's what they're training us to do.
I might do that next time. It was so obvious. Why didn't I think of it?
But I found out how to print the screen.
I don't even know a cell phone. You expecting me to do that?
Yeah, there.
I guess I do have a little bit of a comment on that. The link? What's the link called? I don't remember what the link was for. But I had it downloaded.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
You have to download it now.
Well, yeah.
You get that screen, you download it in Adobe, right?
Yeah. I don't know what it came up with, but I downloaded it and told me that I should sign up for this thing.
Oh, I wouldn't sign up for it.
I unsigned up because all I was getting was more and more emails from whatever that thing is. I probably don't have it on here anymore.
I did
it's a change in progress, and I understand that. That's why I didn't say anything. But I really don't like all of these pages that would have to be printed out. And I would really like to train him to do it himself. But it's not.
Okay, then. Should we vote on that?
It's not a motion.
Train him.
Train him.
John's not smiling.
No, he's not smiling.
He's actually staring. Well, thanks, Patty. I appreciate your...
Yeah, he's looking at me like, look, I gave up driving, now you want me to learn the computer? Poor John.
The hard trials.
You know, he's at a loss for words. That's never happened.
Well, we all done? We have a motion to adjourn?
No, I have one question.
Okay.
I have one question. Yes, I have a question for Bill. Maybe two questions. Bill. I was looking at a site plan the other day, and on the site plan they had emergency easement. Nobody in my place knew what it was, including Vic Nadiello, which you know him.
Mm-hmm.
What is an emergency easement on a private piece of property?
It would be like if fire trucks would have to get in there. It gives them a way to get in and get out if a road is blocked or something. They can't use the primary road. And it might be a gated thing. We see that a lot in subdivisions. If you have more than 50 houses on one street, then you have to have two means of ingress and egress out of there in case one gets blocked. So some of them go ahead and put a paved two-way in and out, but others only put one paved, and then you have to have an emergency access easement somewhere else where it has like a breakaway gate or stabilized turf. Where you know it's there, and if you can't get here, you can come through that way. That's what it is.
This was on a cul-de-sac, and this was in the middle of the cul-de-sac, and it was like a triangle piece, and it said emergency easement. Mm-hmm. And so I was trying to tell the builder, whatever you do, don't put anything in there.
Yeah. That's probably what it is.
Is there any way I can look on the city website to find out easements and that kind of thing? Because I tried, and I'm not very good at it. I went on the Flagler County appraisal. I know how to do all that stuff. But when I go on there, all I do is get a basic site plan, and I don't see any easements or anything special. Like, this thing was very precise and very special.
They're on the plats. If you live in Grand Haven, you'd have to look at the plat that was done for Grand Haven. And all those easements are on that plat.
And how do I get to the plats?
If you would call our planning department tomorrow, they can probably email it to you.
Okay, great.
And you can look at it.
All right, I will call them tomorrow. Got it. Okay, that's what I had to ask. I just thought it was something I needed to know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Motion to adjourn.
Any other matters on the agenda? Okay, now, I'll make a motion that we adjourn.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.